couple of weeks ago, I was sick with a cold. At the same time, I couldn't come to church one Sabbath because my back was hurting so bad. And then I was putting a light up in our family room and on a ladder, and I didn't feel anything happen to my knee. But the next morning, I got out of bed, and I almost fell to the floor. My leg wouldn't hold me up, and that's when it all started to really hurt. And so I'm meeting with a surgeon next Tuesday for seeing about surgery for my knee. It's a torn meniscus. I tore the meniscus in my right knee a couple years ago, kneeling down at the Irvington Church for communion. And now it was pretty well feeling good until this left one torn, and now I'm favoring that, and it's making the right one hurt along with it. So anyway, and Linda's going to have surgery. Her ear's leaking again, spinal fluid, and so she's going to have a surgery on April 13th, and the devil has just poured out his fury. You know, it says in the last days the devil will pour out his wrath against God's people. And you know what I've learned through this, through the life experiences that you and I go through? Is that when life is its toughest, when things seem like everything's going wrong, Ellen White reminds us in The Desire of Ages, it is at that time when we're at our lowest that Jesus is his closest to us. Hey, we can praise God for that. He hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't left us or forsaken us. He's with us every step of the way. And I just praise God that he has not forgotten his children. He still loves us and he's still with us. Well, today I want to be able to speak to you from John chapter 6. And as I begin here today, I'd invite you to pray with me, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love and your blessing to us. I thank you, Lord, that you have not abandoned us and that you're constantly aware of what goes on in our life. Today, Lord, as we open your word, I pray that your Holy Spirit would tend to the needs of each one of us and that your Spirit would draw us close to you. May we see Jesus in all of his glory. And I pray and ask this in his name. Amen. In John chapter 6, if you'll notice here in this, Jesus is meeting with the people. He had just healed many of the diseases, is what it's saying there in verse number 2 of John chapter 6. And then there is a large group after they've crossed over the sea of Galilee. They have a large group of people that is gathering around Jesus. And so Jesus is now going to perform another miracle beside the healing of all of the people that had diseases. Now he's going to provide another miracle of providing food for the folks. And it says there in verse 11 that Jesus took the loaves, and there was about 5,000 people that were present. They had 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, and he blessed that food and broke it and gave it to the disciples to give to the people. There was more than enough. In fact, they had 12 basketfuls of bread and fish left over after they all finished eating. Now, you tell me how 5 loaves, barley loaves and 2 small fishes could feed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. I don't understand how that could happen, except that it was a miracle. And you know, as Jesus spoke with these folks, in verse 26, he says to them that these people were not following him because they saw the miracles of healing or the miracles of him providing for the 5,000 people or plus 5,000 that were gathered around him. They came just because they wanted something to fill their bellies. They just wanted the physical blessing of that. And they missed out on the real spiritual nourishment and blessing that God wanted to give to them. In verse number 30, it says there, they said there unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? And what dost thou work? Now listen, friends, I know sometimes we go through life a little brain dead, but these people must have been not only brain dead, they must have been blind as well. Because to ask Jesus to perform a miracle after healing so many people with so many ailments and then feeding over 5,000 people with just 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, I mean, a person has to be completely brain dead to then say, give us a miracle so that we can believe. I mean, if that didn't convince them of his divinity, that he was the true Son of God, what would it take? And yet, they're still asking for Jesus to do something. And Jesus is telling them here in John chapter 6 about why he came down from heaven. Look here in verse number 33. He says, for the bread of God is which cometh down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Now, when God gave, in Exodus chapter 16, verse 15, when God sent down that manna from heaven, it was not only to feed them physically, it was to teach them a spiritual lesson that God provides for everything that sustains them. Every good and gracious gift comes down out of heaven from God to us. Isn't that true?
Amen.
All right. And so Jesus says, it's representing Jesus, the bread of life. And so when Jesus fed them with the five loaves and two fishes, it was teaching another spiritual lesson that God provides for their physical needs. And it was supposed to teach them about Jesus being that bread of life that comes down out of heaven from God to us. And so Jesus in verse number 35 says, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now listen, when Jesus spoke these words to the people, they were getting ready for the Passover. It was coming that time of the year. The Jews were about to celebrate this Passover in Jerusalem in commemoration of their leaving Egypt. And you remember what that was like when the Lord established Passover? It was necessary for them to take a lamb of the first year, either a goat or a lamb, a male, and they were to sacrifice that. They were supposed to eat all of that or share it with their neighbors. And they were to take the blood and wipe it on the doorpost of their house. And the destroying angel would come through Egypt that night, and it would anybody that didn't have the blood on the doorpost, would be the firstborns would be destroyed. Now listen, there is a spiritual lesson in that. It was not just an ADT sign hanging on their door. You understand what I'm saying? There was a spiritual lesson for that. It wasn't just the angel would pass by their house. There was a lesson that the blood of that lamb represented the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. It was more than just this physical act of wiping blood on the doorpost. It was about having that blood of the Savior covering their heart. And that's what Jesus is wanting to do for you and I today. He wants to cover us with his shed blood. Now, Jesus is talking here, and he is talking to them about him being that bread that came down of heaven. And what was taught in this Paschal Lamb service was just a symbol, and it was what Jesus wanted them to see, that he came to give them eternal life from his Father. And he was saying to them that he is giving his body and his blood. But the Jews, they had made a feast all important rather than what the feast represented. You know, we can do the same thing with the communion service. We get caught up in the ritual, and we forget all about the spiritual lesson that is to be taught in these services. And it's a good thing that we only do it once a quarter. Because if we did it more often, I really believe that it would become such a routine ritual that we just really, we overlook the spiritual nature of what God wants to teach us in this lesson. And I hope that none of us are like these people that were sitting on the seashore. They had seen the diseases healed, and they saw the people being fed, a miraculous thing that took place, and yet they're saying, give us a miracle. I'm hoping today as we're sitting here listening and looking at what Jesus offers us at this communion service, that is not just an opportunity for us to take bread and juice, it's an opportunity for Jesus to cleanse our heart. The sin-sick souls that is inside of each one of us needs to be covered with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Today, he wants to give every one of us a fresh new start, and he wants to give us a blessing. You see, to eat the flesh and to drink the blood of Christ is to receive him as a personal Savior. And so that's where I want to talk to you today about that. That is the main gist of what Jesus is teaching in this lesson, is that for us to accept him as our personal Savior. If you're sitting here today and you haven't done that, I want to invite you to open up your heart and your life to Jesus today. Allow this Holy Spirit that God gives to us liberally. Allow that Holy Spirit to transform your heart and your mind and lead you to Christ, that bread of heaven that will never go away. He wants to offer each one of us that eternal life. And today, friends, if you've done this in the past, accepting Christ, and yet somehow through this experience that your relationship with Jesus has kind of faded, and you'd like to renew that relationship with Jesus, today would be the day to do that, so that you can walk out of here brand new, fresh, and clean, because Jesus has come here and covered you with his blood. We need to believe that he not only forgives our sin, but that we are complete in him. It is by looking at the overwhelming love of Jesus, friends, by constantly thinking of it, by drinking it in, that we become partakers of his divine nature. To think on Jesus, Now listen, friends, we don't have any problem being able to get the remote and turn to the channels that we like the best, to watch those videos and programs that we really like every week. But you know, I believe that when we really take time each day to focus on Jesus, to focus on Him as our Savior, to focus on the divine nature of God, friends, it does something about transforming who we are from the inside out. The people that gathered around Jesus were just wanting something to happen on the outside. But Jesus is longing for something more than that for us. He wants to transform us from the inside out. He doesn't want us to just look beautiful on the outside. He wants us to be fresh and clean and new on the inside. And only He can do that for you and I. You know, I believe that food to the body is what Christ is to our soul. And food will not benefit us unless we take time to eat it. And listen, friends, Jesus will be of no benefit to you unless you take time to spend time with Him, to consume Him, to allow His divinity to come off onto you, to allow Him to come into your heart and your life. You see, Jesus died on the cross at Calvary because back in the Garden of Eden, the divinity that God had put in Adam and Eve was lost. Sin had transplanted that. But Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, friends, to establish fresh and new His divinity inside of each one of us. And when that has been completed around the world, then Jesus will come to take His people home. I want that for my life today. What about you? Do you want that in your heart and your life today? That's what Jesus wants for all of us. He wants us to be fresh and new. And you know, Christ is of no value to us if we do not know Him as a personal Savior. If we're just coming to church, you know, people come to church for so many different reasons. I mean, I couldn't even begin to enumerate all the reasons that drive people to come to church. But I know this, that if we're coming to church and we're not seeking after Jesus and His righteousness and His divinity, friends, we really have the wrong motivation. We need to come seeking for God. And that's why we come to church. We come to church to be able to worship and glorify our Maker, to be able to come here and praise His holy name, to guide other people in a relationship with Him. You see, a theoretical knowledge will do us no good. We must feed upon Jesus. We must receive Him into our hearts so that His life becomes our life. Makes sense, doesn't it? And I think that's what Jesus wants for us. His love, His grace, it must be assimilated. In other words, it must be something that affects us internally so that the actions of our life show that we are with Jesus. Makes sense, doesn't it? I think it does. I think that when we are inside, transformed and changed by the grace of God, that it reflects us on the outside to the world around us. We have assimilated this love, this grace of God that Jesus wants us to have. It's by loving Jesus. Listen to this. In Steps to Christ, page 70, Ellen White writes this. She says, it is by loving Him, Jesus, by copying Him, by depending wholly upon Him, that you are transformed into His likeness. And I think in the Bible it says that is by, and I'm just paraphrasing, by beholding Him, we become changed, right? And that's what God wants for us. Has your faith been kind of weak? Your saving grace of Christ maybe not is relevant for you? Maybe something has happened in your life? Has your love for Jesus begun to grow cold? You don't feel as close to Him as what you used to. Maybe you're longing in your heart. You know, recently I visited with some folks in a hospital. I wasn't with them 5 minutes. And they were telling me how they wanted peace in their life and how they wanted to have that assurance that if something happened tragically to them, if they were to die, they would have that assurance of going to heaven. It was so exciting because the head elder and I was praying for these people just a couple of days before that. And as soon as I walked in the room, it seemed like they wanted to know about it before I ever hardly said anything to them. God had already prepared their hearts for me to lead them to Jesus that day. And listen, friends, you didn't come here by accident this morning. You could have stayed home and slept. You could have sat there at the house and watched cartoons for all I know. But you decided to come here today because God has a blessing for you. He wants to renew His relationship with you today. He wants to restore that right divine relationship in your life with Him that He longs for. That's what this is all about. Jesus is trying to get this across to the people, and they missed it. All they could think about is filling their belly. They couldn't think about the spiritual aspects of what they were going to experience there. You know, by studying the scriptures, we understand who Jesus is. I believe He wants us to accept His love. He offers that to us freely. And Jesus is saying here to the people that they need to eat His flesh and drink His blood. You know, there was a lot of people that were opposing Jesus' ministry, and everywhere He went, everything He preached, the people were always trying to find some place to be able to be nitpicking His ministry, to be able to find something they could hold against Him so that they could have Him crucified in some way, so the people would not listen to Him. It was a common occurrence for Jesus to be hounded everywhere He went. In fact, many of them were saying, because of this statement of His, that the Christians were a bunch of cannibals, to eat the flesh of Jesus and drink His blood. Mercy. In fact, you read the scriptures here, and it says in verse number 66, from that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. They got tired of being called a bunch of cannibals, and so they left Jesus. And Jesus asks the rest of the disciples there, He says, will you leave me too? And Peter spoke up and said, well, where would we go, Lord? You're the Christ. You have eternal life. To walk away from Jesus, friends, means that we don't have that promise of peace in our hearts. We need that today. In a world that is so full of evil, where there is so much disturbance socially and culturally, there's so much going on that tells us that Jesus is coming soon. Friends, we need peace in our hearts when the world around us is falling apart. Jesus is offering that to every one of us. By studying the scriptures, we eat of the bread of life that came down from heaven. You know, there are many authors to many different kinds of books today, but Jesus wants to be the author and finisher of your faith today. He wants you to come to Him. It's not enough to believe in Christ, that He can forgive us of our sins. We must constantly, by faith, come to Him, confessing our sins and receiving that spiritual strength and nourishment that Jesus wants to give to every one of us. That's what He was offering to them there, here in John chapter 6. And they missed it. Brain dead people. All they could see was the physical. And they missed out on the real blessing that God wanted to give them. And so many times people come to church seeking a blessing, seeking some change, and they walk into the sanctuary, they sit down and listen, and they walk back out empty because they refuse to open their heart and their life to the Holy Spirit. And they've missed the spiritual blessing that God wants to give that will nourish them inside. The Lamb that was slain represented the Lamb of God, who was to take away the sins of the whole world. The followers of Christ, by eating His flesh and by drinking His blood, that meant that they would be people that would be receiving the blessing that He offered to them. And they would assimilate the Word of God so that it became the motivating power of life and action for them. By the power of Christ, we must be changed. It is the only way that change can come. His likeness and His divinity, we are to reflect to the world around us. God wants that for us. The words that He speaks, they are spirit and they are life, is what John 6:63 says. That's what Jesus wants us to understand. In verse 63, it says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And Jesus wants us to feast upon those words of His. He wants that to come into our hearts and our life and to transform and change us into His own image. It's not enough to partake of Christ once. We must continually nourish ourselves with the Word of God. Our spiritual souls need to be fed on a daily basis with this bread of life. Listen, when it's talking here in this text in verse 54, it says here, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Four times in this chapter, Jesus talks about raising up His people in the last day. I want to be in that group, don't you? Amen. I want to be ready for that when Jesus comes. I don't want to miss that for anything. In fact, when you look here in verse 54, if you look into the Greek and the tense of the topic here, what it's saying is this is a continual thing. It's not a once in a lifetime event. Listen, sometimes we think because we've accepted Jesus Christ once back when we got baptized, however long ago that was, that's enough, that's sufficient. And people who think like that, their spiritual life has gone downhill and they become dead spiritually. It's a constant, continual feeding. That's what the Greek brings out here. This is not a once-in-a-lifetime event. This is something we do on a daily basis. Feeding on Jesus, the bread of heaven. Letting his spirit come into us and nourish our souls. To eat his flesh and to drink his blood means to believe and to have faith in him. And we need to have that belief in him. You know, communion is repeated to us every quarter. It's to bring to our minds the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Our acceptance of Christ into our hearts fresh and new at these services and eating of his word on a daily basis is what gives us that kind of forgiveness and cleansing and peace in our life that God longs for us to have. Communion is not to be taken unworthily. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, it tells us that. And Paul's not speaking about unworthy people, but of an unworthy manner in which they participate in the communion service. This included the people in Corinth. There was bitterness and contentions. You look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3, there was this quarreling factions that were one's envying the other, one's greater than the other. And then there was this drunkenness that's spoken of in 1 Corinthians 11, 21. And they were overemphasizing the communion as a social occasion, a meal that they could gather around and fill their bellies. And they missed completely what the communion service was all about. It wasn't a social gathering. It was a time for them to come together, confessing their sins one to another, and asking the God of heaven to forgive them in the name of Jesus Christ. It was a time for them to have this opportunity to make atonement for them personally. It's not enough for the Paschal lamb to be slain. Its blood has to be applied to the doorpost of your heart. There needs to be a covering. We must believe that he not only came to set the captives free, friends, in this world, but that Jesus Christ individually wants to set you and me free today. He wants to set us free from the captivity that the devil has put us under. And we must receive and apply this atoning sacrifice for our sins, for ourselves personally. I know it's easy for us to look across the aisle at somebody else, to think they're the ones that need all of this. Listen, friends, we need it too. There's no one that I'm looking at, including myself, that is without sin. All of us fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us need Jesus and his shed blood for us. Every one of us must come to the cross of Calvary and confess Jesus as our Savior, as our sin-pardoning Savior, who forgives us and cleanses us. You know, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we participate in open communion. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then this communion service is open to you. You're able to participate. But you see, the children, and I want the adults and grandparents and the parents here to listen, because the children may not catch what I'm about to say. But I want you as adults to be able to listen about this. Because if we're going to do what the Bible tells us, to not participate in an unworthily way of the communion service, then I want you to hear this, okay? Children who have been instructed in the meaning of the communion service and who have committed themselves to Jesus Christ in baptism may also participate in the communion service. Do I need to repeat that? Okay, adults, now it's your responsibility as parents and grandparents to be able to instruct the children in a way that will let them understand on their level what the communion service is all about. It's not just taking bread and juice because the rest of the adults are doing that. It's a matter of us telling the children what these symbols actually represent and inviting them to accept Christ as their own personal Savior. They're not too young to understand that. They're not too young to be able to accept Christ as their own personal Savior. They can do that on their level, okay? We just need to take the time to instruct them in that.